Okay, we're going to start the meeting. Welcome to the What Others Think of Me Is None of My Business special focus meeting. My name is Deva. I'm a compulsive reader and your speaker for this meeting.
Hi, Deva.
Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones and electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed, except as reported by the committee. Please be aware if you are speaking or sharing, and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent Region 2 or Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. I've asked Dominic, would you please read the 12 steps? Come up here and.
Dominic, compulsive reader. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we think we admit we're powerless over food that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we decided to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and driven more inventory of ourselves. Five, committed to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends for them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
The format of this 55-minute session is as follows: a short reading that I will share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by open sharing. Again, the topic for this meeting session is what you think of me is none of my business. The following is a reading from For Today, April 14th, page 105. And the quote is, there is no ache more deadly than striving to be oneself. I want to be myself, but what is myself? It is being my own person, not the person for another, all the time smiling, joining in, going along, and not wanting it at all. That is not being my own person. Some days, I do not know how much about myself, but I am aware of my efforts to find out to grow. I know that growth has the power of a blade of grass pushing through a crack in cement. I also know that growth comes on its own terms, and it's in its own time, and it will be patient. There is nothing else to do. For today, to be myself is to say what I mean, make decisions without fear, and give up people-pleasing just to gain approval. Okay, that's great.
What date did you say that was?
That's from For Today, April 14th, page 105. Great. I will now share my experience and hope. Can we have someone to volunteer at a time? That'd be great. Five and five. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so grateful that was a multiple reader. Really glad to be here. So glad to be at the birthday party. It's just such an incredible celebration of recovery from around the country, around the world. We have people like from all areas. I've run into people from that I've seen in years. So wonderful. And I'm so grateful for Overeating Anonymous. I'll just share briefly what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I'm a real compulsive overeater. I've been in, I'll get some numbers out of the way. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous for a bit over 20 years, and I have a little over 19 years of abstinence. Mid-April, you know, if I make it till then, I'll have 20 years of abstinence. And it's a miracle. I could not stop eating when I came in. I started compulsively overeating at age 11. And my top weight was, I don't even know, I stopped weighing myself. You know, I ate until I was a size 22, 24. And I was probably 230, 240 pounds. And I also can qualify as anorexic. I've been hospitalized for anorexia, close to 100 pounds. And so I carry both sides of this disease. And I'm really grateful to know that I'm really, like, to this day, no matter how long I've been abstinent, like, to this day I wake up and I know I'm powerless over food. Like, if I go to... if I go hand in hand with trying to control the food, I would lose. It doesn't matter how long I've been here. It's amazing. So just to, you know, a little identification, I mean, you know, it talks about the passages in the big book of all the methods we tried to stop drinking. And all the methods that I tried to stop eating were plentiful. I started compulsively overeating, like I said, when I was 11, and I went on a family trip and gained 10 pounds in 1 week, and I had been a normal eater before then. And I came back from this trip, and my mother just looked at me and didn't believe me, and I went on my first diet. And I promptly lost that 10 pounds, you know, coming on my first diet. Diets definitely work. And then after losing the 10 pounds, I quickly went back to eating, and I was off to the races, and I gained 15 pounds, go on another diet, lose a 15, gain 20, lose a 20, gain 30, lose a 30, gain 40. That's what diets used to get me. I'd always lose the weight, and I'd have to go back to the food. And what I learned from doing step work in here is that no matter what access I had to every single diet out there, I won't name the diets, but every single diet, every single exercise routine, every single prescription pills, all the, you know, the exercise, bulimia, everything, I I did not know how to do life without excess food. That's the fact of it. I had no idea how to do life without using food to get through my emotional state, whether it was happy, whether it was sad, whether it was, you know, feeling lost, grief, in love, out of love. I had to use the food. It's you know, that interesting concept of what I hear, you know, people that are not food addicts or compulsive overeaters, like, for example, my husband, he doesn't have this affliction, and he doesn't have that relationship with food. He loves food, he loves his three meals, and he goes on with his day. He does not understand that my relationship to food, when I put food in my body in a certain way, in a certain concoction, you know, certain alcoholic foods, certain volume. I always say this, I'm allergic to volume. If I hit a certain point of overeating, it triggers overeating. It doesn't happen to a normal eater. It doesn't happen to my husband. And I identified when I came into the room. The first time I came in the rooms, I was, oh my God, how many years ago? Over 30 years ago, when I was a teenager and I had gotten out of the hospital from anorexia and I started to put weight on. And I heard people talk about binging the way I was binging and that they didn't do that anymore. And I was just in shock. I didn't think it was possible. I saw a woman at normal weight, and it was astounding to me. And I didn't believe that she ate the way that I ate. And I wasn't ready for OA. I was way too young. You know, when I hear that people come in as teenagers and stay, it astounds me. Thank you. So I ended up coming back in my late 20s. And on my knees, I'd lost my job, I couldn't clean my apartment. I was not at my top weight, but I was at my top insanity with food behavior and lack of abuse. And I couldn't leave my apartment. The only time I'd leave my apartment was to go to, you know, the supermarket to get food, or else let the delivery guy in for pizza. That was it. So I came back to OA, and, you know, just to stick to this topic of, you know, what others think of me is none of my business. I was done, I was powerless, and I was so ready to hear what people were doing here because I'm doing it my way. And what I really got out of this reading, too, and my experience in OA is, you know, it says, I know that growth has the power of a blade of grass pushing through a crack in cement. And that's how it was for me in surrendering to OA. Just a little willingness to surrender allowed the growth to happen. And so it didn't take much surrender, even though in the beginning I was defiant, I didn't get a sponsor, I was still thinking abstinence was a diet, so I didn't get abstinent for a year. I was here binging for a year until I did the things that were suggested. And, you know, I think of this topic of what others think of me as none of my business, it really comes down to often what I think of me as none of my business. And, you know, it really comes down to, I mean, that's just like, I just realized that, because I have so many old ideas, preconceptions, illusions of what my body's supposed to look like, what my life is supposed to look like, what you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing that I need you to do. Like, it's a whole story that I've concocted that often my behavior with food often mirrors the areas of my life. Like, if I'm deprived in my life, often, like, the anorexia will come out. Like, if I'm not exploring hobbies and other things, like, I'll get very small in my life. So when I have, like, this whole chart of old ideas, similar of how I used to chart diets, or, like, the illusion of when I do this, my body will do this, or whatever, and it all comes down to, lately for me, in areas that I'm having a hard time surrendering in, and it all comes down to my higher power, and it all comes down to, do I trust, like it says in page 53, God is everything or God is nothing. Do I trust that, or don't I? And when I really trust that, I'm really in a state where I'm letting go of my old ideas. And so then I'm really not hung up about what you're thinking of me, because I'm not thinking of me in that space. And easier said than done, like, you know, sitting up here speaking, it's so fascinating because I'm at an area in my life right now where I'm looking at where is the surrender. Luckily, it's not with the food. Like, you know, I have a very clear idea of what I need to do. I heard another panel just recently, like an hour or so ago, about that this is a program of action, and it doesn't take much just to do the action. Like, I can't wait for the willingness. So I have a program of action of what I need to do for sanity around food, number one, and then the steps for being in the world. Because this is such a disease of isolation, it took me a lot to learn how to be in the world. It's still really hard for me to be around crowds. I get overwhelmed at these birthday parties. I like to have a little anxiety being around crowds. But everything's laid out in the steps that way. And so when I really get to that state of surrender, it's so beautiful. And what I've learned is, you know, and I heard it just in another panel, it's like we are not saints. It comes in waves. You know, there are times that I surrender more, there are times that I don't. And what, but when I'm really in a state of surrender, then I can let go of what I think it's supposed to look like, what you're supposed to be doing. You know, there's that great thing that I've heard, you know, I am enough, I do enough, and I have enough, and that, in that state, it's just a partnership with my higher power. That's it. And so within that time, I'll just wrap up. You know, I hope to God that I never leave this program. I'll just end with this. I have a very high respect for my disease. I know it's always there. There are times that I'm, you know, when the food calls, thank God it's much less of the time now. You know, I used to say I was 100% obsessed with the food, and now it's only maybe, you know, 10% of the time I have to struggle with food, but it's such a great average to have, to surrender to the steps and being able to be in my life. So, anyway, so what I would love, you know, also to hear on the topic when people share of just like what that looks like for you, like what you think of me as none of my business in all areas, and yeah, I'll open it up for sharing now. Thank you. The meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes. We do have a timer to give others a chance to share. The session will end at 4:55. So I believe you come up here and share. So who would like to share? Yeah.
I'm a compulsive overeater. My name is Mary Lou.
Hi, Mary Lou.
And I do apologize that I didn't get to do your whole share, but this topic really speaks to me a lot because I remember I've been in the program since 1983. I got absent in 1986, and the thing that I struggled with the most in those 32 years of always falling off my abstinence was when people would have something or say they made something for me or give me something and I couldn't say no. So it was always like, they're going to think I'm weird, they're going to think I'm this, they're going to think I'm that. So I realized that was one of my biggest defects, you know, character, was just not being honest. And I didn't know that people pleasing was dishonesty, because I just wasn't being honest about who I was. And I had this response to this for the last 12 years, it was coming in my head, you know, ask God to help you be your true self. And I should tell that I'm a compulsive overeater. It made me weird, it might look stupid, it might look fanatic when I take out my scale or I want to measure my meals or, you know, all that is like, and the reason I don't want to do it is what will they think? You know, what will my sister think of me? And, you know, that's what I really had learned. I mean, you know, I did it, but it was always like this awful feeling. Or I wouldn't go to places, you know, like I wouldn't go. They would invite me to dinner or whatever. I wouldn't want to go because I didn't want to have them see what I ate. And it was just so ridiculous. They, you know, I don't know if it's fun to hear what I've been. So, anyway, just being true to myself and knowing that that's an honesty thing. Can I be honest about the fact that I am different in food? I am weird when it comes to food. Most people don't have a planned meal. Most people don't say, I have to stop at the grocery store. The first thing when they get to their vacation spot, it's like, you see, crazy, you know, or, light it up, you know, go out here. You know, it's like, yes, I am different. And I have multiple issues. I have to eat. And, you know, that's the biggest thing. How do I be honest about that? And it just means why. I keep calling her. I think I called her the other day. I said, why is it so hard? You could just say, like, no, I can't have that. I mean, I don't have it, but it just feels like it's tiny amount of effort just to be honest about who I am. So, I think it was what you said. I thought I'd have that within me first, but I'm okay with the fact that, yes, I mean, you can tell me, yes, I'm different, and it's okay. And it doesn't matter what you think. Thank you.
Magic about that side of the room, which is this way. All right, hi everybody, I'm Frank from Buffalo Reader.
Hi.
I really enjoyed the topic and your presentation. Thank you so much. My take on this, I came to the program October of 2011. Was from abstinence, lost all my weight, was doing really well. People would compliment me, and I would think that was my business. I would take credit for what God had done, and I felt hip, slick, and cool to use a cliche, and things were just great for 2 years. And then the next year, which started last December, a year ago December, I stopped doing the things that were working. You know, I stopped committing my food, being fully honest with my sponsor. I took back some food, I took some back from snacks. I really just basically gave into what brought me to the room to begin with. Gained the weight back. And then I didn't want to come back into the room because I didn't want people to see me at my original weight. And that also was none of my business. You know, my early sponsor told me that God's in the results business and I'm in the footwork business. I stopped doing the footwork. And as a result, the weight came back. So, the good news is it didn't go away. You know, I still kept calling, I still kept doing something, you know, like the blade of grass through the crack of the sidewalk. I still kept doing something. And one of the things I got in the habit of doing was praying before I ate. You know, pray for abstinence and strength to do your will. It took me a year to modify the prayer that used to end with and be 180 pounds. Because then I went to some workshops and I was supposed to pray for selfish things, so that was just the prayer. But it was very hard to pray before a binge. You know, you had a Fred Flintstone-sized toboggan full of binge food, you know, and after abstinence and strength to do as well. You know, I do have a radar for hypocrisy. So what did I cut out? The prayer. So that's all I wanted to say was that it was very hard for me to come into the room, and what helped me was there was some person that had 6 years of abstinence who relapsed quite a bit after the 6 years, and him coming back into the room gave me the possibility that all the negative thoughts in my head of what people would say, do, or think about me were real. I came back and came into the room to get your thank you.
Thank you. I'm Christina from Both of Eaters.
Hi, Christina.
Just really grateful for OA. I came in 2009, and then in 2011, she came after it, and in December 2011. I just finished working the 12 steps with my sponsor, actually. And what really caught my attention about this workshop spoken is that I want to validate for anybody out there who hears, you know, what they think of me as none of my business, and it's not enough. Like, because when I heard that, I was like, okay, yeah, that's you know, that'll help me to sort of just put a buffer between what other people think of me. But it's that, for me, is predicated on the belief that it's for vanity, that I care what other people think of me. And what I learned through working steps and through this program is that it's for survival. That I grew up thinking what other people think of me is my business, because my security and my survival for life depends upon what these people with direct control over my nourishment, my quality of life. That is my business, to make sure they're happy so that I can function with it. So I don't play the game of shame and blame anymore with myself and other people. They're where they are. They are where they are. I am still in a place where I care about what other people think of me. I get to speak it to God and say, you know, God, not for the vanity, but for my sanity. I'm having trouble because my radar is picking up that somebody is disapproving of what I'm saying or what I'm putting out there. I'm scared. I'm afraid that this person can negatively impact me. And today I can say that a lot of people, it doesn't matter what they think of me, but the people I love and authority figures, my bosses, I go straight into people pleasing. And I will go in with the agenda of just sticking with, you know, what are the main things that I need to focus on? What do I need to communicate, or what do I need to understand to clarify with my boss? I will go in there, and it's just like, you know, it just goes right out. And I get to see that and say, you know, I don't want to do that, but I can't help it right now. So help me, God. So that's what I'm walking through right now, and I shared it at a previous meeting. For me, this program has been about facing a lot of fears with support and opening up and asking people for support. I love the tools, and weighing, measuring, committing my food, they sounded like sentences to me when I first came, like punishment sentences. Like, you are now going to jail, you know, you have to commit your food. But it's so not. It is something that I have experienced where weighing and measuring my food has nothing to do with how my body's going to look. And that's a radical shift. It has everything to do with clarity and honesty for me. So whether I eat, you know, multiple servings of something, but I, you know, measure it out, I get to, and I'll wrap up, I get to see, hey, you had double portions of that day. Okay, what's going on in your life, you know? So for me, it's just a litmus test, like, where am I going? You know, I get to look at it honestly. But I don't get to use weighing, measuring, and committing my food as a tool to diet. It has nothing to do with my body anymore. So that's how I really do it. Thanks for the leadership. And I have to leave early, too. I'm setting up for another meeting.
Hi, I'm Dennis. How are you?
Hi, Dennis.
I came to the program early 90s, and the ladies kept me here to enjoy that. They said hi. So, but I left. I had to go out on the road. I drove to Florida. I was gone for a long time. Probably the worst job I've ever had. So, I got to put on 80 pounds. But I want to say what you do in faith is important to me in one way. Is that God took me. I thought I'd follow my old friend that I had retired. And with my own sponsor, I just said hi, and here I am. But what was nice is that probably here I came back and was here. There were meetings and I could come back. And I felt like home again, you know. And so since I've been back, the important thing for me is I'm now moving forward. And I've now learned about mindfulness, okay, what's happening for the moment. And I've learned that I had a girlfriend that, before I left, she caught leukemia, and she was in the program, and I wanted to marry her. I got to spend that last year with her. So I got to see what it was like in life, you know, each day, each breath. And so I got that experience in how she stayed through the program, 50 days going. But she was strong in the whole process. So I got to see a miracle. What I learned is there's a miracle in the room all the time, and if I mind. And so what people think for me now, I found at 50 lately that my words have value. What I'm saying when I say a word is now put out there in the universe. But also, when you say a word, that's something about you. Okay? So now I have this little person sits up behind me a little bit now and just observes my behavior. And I'm learning about myself and my strengths and weaknesses and what I get to surrender. But also, I can observe you now. And what you say, I just learned that everybody is trying to get through life the best they can. Okay? And how you treat me is just telling me how good you're at. And so I lose a lot of power now, so it's pretty hard for you to affect me now, because now it's just, I'm observing, okay? And I'm learning. And if it's a negative thing, and it just tells me right now what you're at, okay? And I don't have to give control of anything. But if I do react to it, it's telling me about something about myself, because I'm learning about myself. Yeah, I'm on this side of it. My days are being very valuable. My time is very valuable. I don't want to spend it to food anymore. I don't want to spend it to anything anymore. Because each moment each breath is important to me in my relationship. Our family's healing, a lot of things. So there's miracles in the room. And I don't want to miss that. Okay, so I don't want to give up that. Thank you.
I'm Jessica, I'm a home reader.
I am.
What you said about, really got me from what you said was about when you think about what they're thinking of me, it's really what I'm thinking of me as your son. Right to the middle of my brain. And I think that I've learned in this program that if I have a problem with something they're doing, it's usually my defective character. And that was hard for me. I hated that. I really hated learning that. Really? Come on. I'm so good at studying. But I know that to be true. If whatever you're doing is annoying me, then it's about me. Know that what you're doing. You're just living your life. I'm the one with the problem. And it's the same thing about what people think of me. I am, like, so interested in what other people think of me. And I can get so obsessed with that. And usually I think the negative. They think I'm fat. They think I'm ugly. They think I'm stupid. They think I'm not good at my job. They think I have a big ass. That, you know, whatever it is. But those are the things I'm thinking about myself. And that's what reminds me is, like, I remember when I was working my desk was, you know, I had to go from my desk over to here. It was a long walk, and I had to walk by a lot of people. These are the people I work with. And I'm thinking, oh, look at the fact that they're really in. And they're not thinking that, they're doing their job. I'm the one thinking that. I'm the one thinking that they're judging me, but I'm not judging myself. And it's a real learning curve for me. I mean, I'm really just after 7 3/4 years of being in this program, I'm just finally wrapping my head around this issue and getting to a place where I can look at it with some clarity and not, you know, look in the mirror and see something hideous or think that you're looking at me and seeing something hideous and start to believe that these things that I say to myself usually aren't true. And then maybe you're not thinking that at all. And maybe you don't even care what I look like or how many people you think I have. And I spend a lot of time looking at what other people are eating. I'm very interested in what other people are eating. You know, they care when I'm eating. But I'm really interested in what they're eating. And it's like, you know, it all starts here, right here in this basic head of mine. And I'm just getting to the point where I'm able to look at that with some kind of mindfulness and be okay with who I am right now. And whatever you think of me, well, that's your product, and you get to do whatever you want.
And that's all I ever thought about, what you thought about me. I mean, I didn't have time for anything else. And you know what, they didn't think about me at all. And And I always went out to see people or try to make people like me. And not everybody likes me. That's fine too. And my attitude has changed completely. And it's all a matter of attitude. Today, I really don't feel any of those things about me. Because, and also what I know is I've learned my place here. I've been around for a few years. And I miss a lot of the workshops because I know so many people. And I have to talk to all of them. And I love people. And before I came to this program, I would never even talk to anyone. I would stick my nose up in the air and just thought I was puppeting. But what I was really like, I was terribly afraid of talking to people because if I say something, it's not perfect, they won't like me, so therefore I can't say anything. And children, this has taught me how to live. And I never knew how to live. I was always projecting and thinking about, you know, I was married for 15 years before I came to this program, and my husband just told me that he loved me. But I knew he didn't really mean it. He just said that because he had to. How stupid can someone like that be? But I was raised that way. You know, I was stupid fast. And it took a long time to change that attitude. And this program really taught me how to grow up. But when I came, we still had like some food plans. And I liked it. And I still do. And my sponsor died after I had him for 30 years. And I immediately found another sponsor because that is important. I can tell her when I have something that I don't like. And I call it my gripe for the day. And then we laugh about it. And it's funny because nothing is that important. I've learned to accept life and life's terms. It helps me to work towards the death of my husband after many, many years. I think I was in trouble about 20 days then. I think it's 37 years of absence a few days ago. And you know what? Before I used to jump on the scale before breakfast after before I said that. But when I came, it was a little different. We set the goal weight with a sponsor. And so when I had my 37th anniversary, I stepped on the scale. I weighed exactly what I weighed 37 years ago. And at that moment, I don't know what it is. But I was willing to do all the things that were suggested. And I didn't like always. I came for all of this for even like it. Because I just came because I thought my husband was going to leave me. And then because I have the food, I got a sponsor, and I learned that there's more to it than just the food. But it began with the food for me. I had to get that in order because my head was so clogged up with all this crazy food. I never knew, I told someone earlier, I never knew anything green was edible. It is. The only thing I get from my sponsor once a month, I'm too crazy about it. Maybe you should think of a few more days. But that's okay. I love it when she calls me on things. And believe it or not, after all these years, as I said, the food is not the only thing. But for me, it's important. And I shouldn't tell you this, but I like to commit my food even today. And we joke about it. And you know, it's fun. I like the accountability. And I was never accountable for anything. Because a little bit didn't count, a little bit to get, a little bit what I had in my pocket. And the honesty of this program. And today, really, I don't care what people think about me anymore. And this program has gotten me all over the world. It gave me strength, and I'm not afraid. I was afraid of my own shadow. Even though I did things, I was terrified. And, you know, a year ago, around this time, I was at a meeting in Auckland. And it was wonderful. They picked me up at the hotel and took me. And I was standing there laughing, you know, talking to me, even with my best friends I'd never met before. And someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hi, Mara, it's nice to see you again." Wow. Around the world, there's someone who has an altitude. Now, this is not an amazing program. And the only thing I can suggest to people, keep coming back no matter what. Because I was talking to someone else. Sometimes I have a day, "Do you really want to keep this up?" You know, they have to work it all the time. And maybe something sounds good. And then I say, okay, white knuckle it. I did that when I came. I can still do it. It's okay. Because I'm human, but I always thought I was so perfect. And I don't know if any of you ever heard that. It's another program, but I heard that speaker, and he's really great. He's long gone. And he said, "If you walk on water, be careful. You might get hit by a motorboat." I don't want to get hit by motorboats, so I need a sponsor and all these people. Thank you.
Time for more shares, if anyone wants to share.
Hi, I'm Laura. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi,
Laura. I don't really want to share. But thank you for yours, and thank everybody for theirs. I've been around OA since my 25 years from home now.
August. And, that was so miraculous, because before I came to OA, I couldn't stop eating. And I remember one of my very first meetings hearing that, you know, what you think of me is none of my business. And I was like, what? I didn't know. Like I didn't know anything before I came. I didn't know I could get through a day. I turned my will and my life over to care of higher power, as I may or may not have understood in back then. And I still do, however, struggle a lot with what people think of me. I mean, a lot of stuff comes more naturally to me now. And even that, you know, I mean, I notice it. I notice I'm doing it. But it is always my default. And I really want people to like me and approve of me and worship me, in fact, you know. And as everybody's kind of saying, what I've learned, and the only antidote for that kind of fear, is just to be able to love myself and get the love and adoration from God that fills me, so that in so many situations in the world, when I know that someone isn't crazy about something I've done, or they're angry at me, and if they may not have anything to do with me, it's easier for me to notice what's going on and to see, you know, how much I've grown and changed since the woman that walked into these rooms 25 years ago. You know, and I'm so grateful that you guys came to as well.
Hi, I'm Dina from Compulsive Overeater and
Anorexia. The first time I ever heard that sentence, "what others think of me is none of my business," I was really, really offended by it, and it stuck in my craw, because my whole life I had been raised to believe I was a people pleaser, and my whole life depended on getting others to approve of me, and I really had a lot of black and white thinking. And so if I didn't get, you know, if I wasn't like this super achiever or whatever, perfectionist, you know, then I may as well not exist on this planet. So so when I was in the anorexic phase, you know, I was just kind of slowly committing suicide. I think really it's been the program that has allowed me to get outside myself and realize and understand that I am not the center of anyone's universe. My success or lack of it is not a reflection on my parents or, you know, others in my family or whoever I'm hanging with. You know, it's simply me, and the only relationship that really matters is my relationship with my higher power. So that's a new relationship in my life now, and it takes place through service to others. And I'm only 2 years old in this program, and I'm not sponsoring anyone yet. And so I'm looking forward to being fit to sponsor and help people. But anyway, I guess I just want to say that obviously it really bothered me when I heard it, because it had a lot of significance for me. And, you know, God loves you no matter. God loves you when you can't love yourself. So, you know, that's, I really need to tell myself that every day.
Hi, my name is Mari, and I'm and I kind of wondered if this subject that I haven't had a chance to share at all, and this is a subject that's big to me, and I heard of my first meeting yesterday, a woman who was needed at Claire at her university, because she wanted to be involved in her recovery, and so I thought, I'm going to do it, you know. So the topic of what other people think of me, and what it brought up for me was, I'm a really bad mind reader. And I am constantly reading other people's minds of what they are thinking about. And it is never a nice thing. And I had a friend in the program who she used to say, if I'm thinking, when I think that people are talking about me, why do I always think they're saying a nice thing? You know, why do I always think they're saying a nasty thing? And so I have a funny story that I love to talk about. I'm not going around for a little while. And there's an old timer who's been around forever and a day. And I was always thinking, he hated my recovery and he hated my program. And I was a fake and a fraud in his mind. And that, you know, it didn't matter how much weight I lost, it didn't matter how much service I did, I wasn't doing it his way. And he just has all this, you know, negativity that I could just feel it every time we were in the same meeting together. And then, lo and behold, like 3 years later, we're at the interview, and we're both on the interview. And it's never been to an interview. There's some heated discussions that go on during the interviews and stuff. And we're in the middle of this heated discussion between each other and stuff. And then I get distracted and I'm talking to somebody else. And he leans over to the person next to him and goes, what's her name? I was like, he doesn't know my name. Because I have been living in this attitude of how much he hated me. And when he was out of the room for the way, how, you know, and he didn't even know my name. He didn't care. You know, and I just have to remember that. Most people don't care that much about me or as much as I think they do. And so whenever I'm thinking that I, you know, my sponsor and I often have to say, is this something you know or is this something you think? And often I have to say, it is something I am thinking. And so I'm constantly thinking what you're thinking of me. And I have to remind myself that I'm a little bit of a
I am Deborah, compulsive reader.
Hi, Deborah.
I came to OA in September 2000, and I've been asking to see the people we have with you. And I really wanted to come up here to the city, and I'm thinking, what will they think of me if I go up here? So for me, what do they think of me? It's just another one of my fears. And over the last little while, I've been trying to work on fears that I call inconvenient fears. So when I first moved to San Diego, I had a big fear about driving on the freeway, and after a few months, it was really inconvenient because both of us have to. And so I had to get over that fear. So now I'm trying to kind of tackle my fears in that way. The one, I'm like, it's not convenient for me to avoid getting up in front of the news routine because it doesn't fit here. It's not, you know, so, and I was sitting here thinking, gosh, this is like a big struggle of mine, like what people think. I've kind of had it all ingrained in my mind, you know, that it's so important for people to do. And then I kept thinking of examples where I've been conquering that fear over the last few years. You know, like standing up for my children and people, and like not caring what anyone said, but, you know, and standing up for different people, and then not caring what they're going to think, just like caring about doing the right thing. So, yeah, it's been good, and I really like that thing, it's none of my business, because I've always had this, you know, that saying that we have my weight is none of my business. And I was able to understand that I'm a weight myself. I found out by accident a couple of times, but basically I'm always beginning to weight myself because it's a big service to me. But to be able to, and I've probably said that before, but I feel like I'm doing it for the first time, to be able to apply that same thing to what people think of me, like it's none of my business, it doesn't matter what they think. Because I'm, you know, like a lot of people here, like I care, you know, like I want to do this for listening. I want everyone to find value in what I say. I want everyone, and it really doesn't matter. So, thank you.
Hi, my name is Arlene. I'm a compulsive
going to so many places with this. It's like, it's total self-obsession, you know. It's like, really, it is, that was sort of like this aha for you, like, it's really what I'm thinking about. Yeah, like, all I can think of is me. But, you know, I think of you guys, too. So I'm going, okay, so I'm thinking things about them, so they must be thinking things about me, because I'm very judgmental. And it really, it's like the more I can get is between me and my higher power. Nothing else is really a big deal. It's like, how can I just get, I just want to get better and grow up. I mean, oh my God, it just made me cry to listen to someone who, you know, we get to watch each other for 25 years. I mean, to not see a person very often, but to go, wow, that person is totally different. And just myself, too, I was thinking for some reason about sitting on a panel at this birthday party a few years ago, and I was sitting with double winners, these two guys who were in, you know, AA and OA, and they're very black and white with their thing, and I'm always very, like, I don't deserve to be good. I never, ever take a shift. I never, ever take a candle, and I've been abstinent for 29 years. And I just feel so imperfect because I'm not thin. So I told my story there. I was on this panel with them, and they are perfect. And I'm perfect. You know, I'm perfect exactly as I am. And the fact was that, like, a lot of people related to me, a lot. And, but it was very scary, you know, to tell my truth and to get, like, even people who were just really, really perfect related to me and were appreciative. Let's say they were very appreciative of my honesty. And so anyway, it helped me, you know, it just helped me to show up for myself, in my truth, where my feet are, and, you know, ask for help when I need it, and give help, and be of service, and do all the things, but also, it's just about love. It's about loving you, and loving me. And I really think that's the whole answer, you know, for me. And what you think of me, you know, I sort of care. I sort of care, but I have, you know, like getting that this is like the safest place that I could be. And like, if I'm feeling that way here, that's not too good, you know. And just getting a little bit out of my comfort zone and just practicing here. So.
It's time for one more share. Someone wants to share?
I am the compulsive overeater. So I just figured what the heck. I'll come up and say a little something. I realized I'm wearing this shirt with like horizontal stripes, and I remember like when I was like a kid and even up with my teens and stuff, I remember it was my stepmom. She's kind of stylish, you know? She goes, oh, don't wear horizontal stripes because it makes you look bigger, you know? So I took that in. I will not wear horizontal stripes. I just want to, this is one true shirt with horizontal stripes. And I took it out today and went, what you think of me is your business. And what a relief to have been told that in this program, you know? It's your business. So now I wear this one a little more often. So I pulled it up today and said, what the heck, you know? And normally, before the program, I would wear clothes that were, like, bigger than what I normally, because I didn't like anything kind of showing or anything like that. And if you don't wear those stripes, it kind of fits. So you're going to see what you're going to see. You know what I mean? And that's your business, right? It's none of my business. None of my business, and I'm trying to, you know, walk the walk here. I just moved into a house over in Long Beach about 3 months ago. And it's like my first house, and I'm fixing things up, and I let me tell you this one thing. But I'm like freaking out, you know, I'm all stressed out and stuff, and I'm like, what's wrong here? Because the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what are the neighbors going to think of this homeowner? You know what I mean? I have this huge, beautiful, like, window in front of the house, and everybody can just see in, into the living room. And I'm like, oh God, am I going to have my furniture? Am I going to be? What am I doing? I'm raking the leaves. Am I doing that right? And it wasn't until I actually found meaning to the end and got a commitment. And it wasn't until after a couple of meetings where I realized, oh my God, I'm totally caught up in what people think about me. You know what I mean? I really want to do a good job. I want to like me, you know, good leader, and I want to have a good impression. And it wasn't until I came up to that realization of what you think about me ain't none of my business, right? That I finally kind of calmed down and started really just enjoying, you know, decorating my new home and becoming homeowner. So, that's how it's good. Thank you.
Okay, it is now time to close the session. Would like to thank those of you who gave service at the session, all of you for attending. After a moment of silence, please join hands, and we'll close with the OA promise. I put my hand over.
Coming back, it works if you work it and you work it.